Take your Bible, if you would, tonight. Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6. We've been preaching a series on Sunday night that deals with the subject of victorious Christian living, how to overcome the satanic onslaught that is thrown against Christians. And I believe the devil is unleashing his attack against Christians today. There's much evil in the world. I didn't say anything about it last Sunday. We were so busy with the missions conference. I'm not a big fan of Halloween. So I'm going to preach against it even though it's over. How's that sound? I just don't know how God gets glory when Christians dress up in skeletons and immodestly and partying and drinking and acting worldly. Listen, I don't need this Dungeons and Dragon thing. It's not for me. I've been redeemed from all of that. Amen. And the devil is constantly working, and we want to have victory. He's got so many Christians just in his sights. And we've learned that he went to the first family and brought destruction, Adam and Eve. And we've learned that he went literally to Jesus and tried to keep him from going to the cross. And we've learned that Satan has time and again come. And Satan tempted David in the numbering of the people. And he is our adversary. Listen, your spouse is not your adversary. The person that bugs you is not your adversary. It's the devil that's your adversary. Well, I tell you what, tonight, we've got to remember that, and we've got to learn how to fight against him as well. So tonight we're coming to Ephesians 6 and verse 10, and we're going to read beginning in verse 10. And for the scripture, we're going to read down through verse 15, and we'll conclude the message next Sunday night. It's a two-part message on the armor that we must put on, and I've entitled the message Victorious Armor. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let us pray. Lord, I pray that you would help me tonight, and I pray a protective hedge around this church family. We pray that any strongholds would have been removed. We pray that we would have been made wise to the challenges that we face in this day. And I ask, Lord, that you would use tonight's message to strengthen us for the battles that are ahead and that are going on presently. And may we learn the keys to victory tonight as we learn about putting on the armor. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Kept or finally known from her so long, her big mistake, that one regret that haunts her to this day, it just won't fade. So many different stories we thought could not be redeemed, but it's against our darkest failures we start to see the beauty of the blood, the goodness of this grace, the mercy undeserved that could never be explained. Heaven's best takes on the scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of His love. That's the beauty of the blood. What a thought, just a single drop forever wipes away our every stain, and with its power every chain that holds us now lies at our feet, and we stand free. That's the beauty of the blood, the goodness of His grace, the mercy undeserved that can never be explained. Heaven's best takes on the scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of His love. That's the beauty of the blood. Forever changed, I stand amazed by everything it does. That's the beauty.
American snipers are trained to come in close to the target, to remain unseen and unidentified. They may get 1,000 yards from the target, but their goal is to lay there, and sometimes for hours, maybe even a few days, until finally the opposition comes in line. The opposition may be just walking, perhaps just in a time of free time, but they are completely unaware of the fact that they are in the crosshairs of the sniper. The sniper is equipped, perhaps with night vision equipment, no doubt with the best rifles and scopes. And the American sniper waits for that moment to come, patient, willing to wait until the right shot can be made. And then finally, when the moment comes, the trigger is pulled and the kill is made. Tonight, lying in places sometimes unknown to you and to me, Satan and his demons wait patiently. They wait for that moment that you're with the wrong crowd, you've been watching the wrong things, you've been allowing the wrong thoughts in your mind, patiently, undercover, patiently waiting for that moment when things just seem to come and converge, and boom, at the right moment, Satan's willing to take the shot that will bring your family down. And those shots go off day after day, hour after hour. And Christian people, people that were not walking in the Spirit, people that should have never been there, should have never been with them, Christian people find that they're in the crosshairs of the devil, And while the devil can never take their salvation, can never rob their home in heaven, he can certainly discourage their mommy and daddy, certainly discourage a spouse, and certainly Satan has oftentimes marred and tarnished the name of Christ in our society when men and women are hit with Satan's bullet. And that is why tonight we come to this passage in our series. A passage that teaches us how we might be protected, and a passage that teaches us how we might fight in the spiritual warfare. Because if there's anything I want you to be aware of tonight, it is the fact that the devil's waiting to get you in his scope. It is the fact that tomorrow he'll be there, and the next day he'll be there. Now thank God this evening that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And thank God that only our Lord is omniscient and omnipresent. Thank God that only our Lord has all power. Nevertheless, Satan is lurking and waiting. And you say, well, Pastor, what is this, some kind of a science fiction movie tonight? No, this is called Bible preaching tonight. That we have an adversary who roameth about as a lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the lion doesn't jump up and say, here I am. The lion will wait. And he'll wait for that moment that he can pounce on his target and take his prey. And so tonight, I want you to learn how you might be victorious over this lurking enemy, Satan. Now, I want you to notice, if you're taking notes tonight, in the first place, the place of our confidence. For it is vital that we do not think, well, I'm at church, therefore I'm on the winning side because I'm at church. Or I have been to Sunday school, or I am a part of the Christian school. I want you to recognize that the place of our confidence is not first and foremost in the armor. And I want you to recognize this, because if we're not careful, we could get to thinking that because we're a member of a church or because we tithe, then we have protection guaranteed and we're okay. And, I do the thing that I'm expected to do. The Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And I don't care if it's the American military in Pearl Harbor or if it's Osama bin Laden in his little shack in Pakistan. The fact of the matter is, about the time you think nobody knows where you are and it's all good and you're gonna withstand, let he that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And so we don't want to have a false sense of security that, well, I'm at church and I'm going through the motions, because our security is not in what we do, who we know, or where we are. We must first of all learn to be strong in the Lord. I can't emphasize this enough. The Christian life is a relationship. When we were in the Garden of Gethsemane not long ago, we stopped and in our devotional time we sang the song, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. The Christian life is a relationship. I am his and he is mine. And I talk with him and I hear him from the word of God. And so we must notice in verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now, the right church will help us to be strong in the Lord, but our confidence is not in the fact that we're in church. And you see, the right Sunday school class is such a blessing, and good Christian friends are such a blessing, but we are commanded to be strong in the Lord. Now, the word strong means to receive strength from him. That's why we pray, Lord, I can't do it without you. Lord, I must have your strength for the journey and for this battle that I'm presently facing. Perhaps the devil's fighting at your children or your marriage or some other situation. I just want to encourage you tonight. Call out to the Lord. Lord, I need your strength and I need your help. Be strong. Receive the strength. And notice it says, be strong in the power. That speaks of the great and mighty power of our God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, his ability, and his strength. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the Lord and be strong in the grace that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, Paul knew that as he would leave this earth, that his spiritual son, Timothy, would face many challenges and many battles. And he said, Timothy, I want to challenge you. Be strong in the Lord. Now, sometimes we misplace our trust. And we put our trust in our pedigree. And I get tickled when people think, well, I've been to this Bible college or that college, and I had this class, or I knew this one. Let me tell you, that doesn't matter a hill of beans if you don't pray tomorrow. Doesn't matter what you know. It matters who you're strong in, and it must be the Lord. I heard of a man that went to buy a chainsaw, and he had a lot of work to do on his property. And the owner of the store said, well, here's a chainsaw. He said, in fact, this chainsaw right here, and I don't know what it was, McCullough or Husqvarna, I don't know what kind it was, but he said, this chainsaw will chop 100 trees a day. And he said, it's the best we've got. You can get 100 trees a day. Man, that guy was excited. He bought the chainsaw. He went back to his farm, and he was chopping away and sawing away. And yet he could only get about 5 trees a day. And he came back in a few days later to the store owner, and he said, I'm only getting about 5 trees a day with this. He said, I don't know what's wrong with it. The store owner said, well, let's see what's the situation. He picked up that saw. He pulled that rope. And that motor started going. And the fellow that had bought it looked at him and said, what's that noise? Now, you may own the chainsaw, but until you learn how to fire it up, you're not going to get much done. And you may be a member of a church, but until you learn how to walk with God, to read His Word, to truly spend time in prayer, to listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, you'll not know the power nor the endowment of God's wisdom that can come into your life. And so Paul begins this admonition with reminding them that they must be strengthened by the Spirit in the inner man. Would you look at that in Ephesians chapter 3 for just a moment? Just go back to get a little bit of background to what he's talking about when he says the power in the Lord, the power of his might. Look at chapter 3 and verse 16, and notice what he prays here. He says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. All right, now let's read that together now that you found it. Ephesians 3:16, ready to begin. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory. Now, every one of us, this pastor included, need to be strengthened by his might. We need to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Every one of us tonight in the inner man need to be strengthened. You see, the outward man perishes, but the inward man can be renewed day by day. It's the inward man that will produce that joy and that wonderful spirit and that desire to continue on. But it's got to come from inside. The Holy Spirit strengthening us and empowering us. And so we learn, first of all, the place of our confidence is the Lord. We're to be strong in the Lord. And we must recognize, in the flesh, I will fail. That's why we do not have a moment's time nor respect for the power of positive thinking type books. The type of books that tell you, look yourself in the mirror and think positive and tell yourself you're a good guy, you're a handsome guy, and other lies like that. And tell yourself that you can make it because of who you are. The fact of the matter is, we cannot make it because of who we are. We can only make it because of who He is. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And so we understand then that the place of our confidence is in the Lord. And secondly, we can then find strength in the armor of God. Now let's notice what the Bible says in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, God gives us strength for every spiritual warfare, and He gives us appropriate armor for the warfare as well. And we're told here to put, first of all, to put on the whole armor of God. That is to say that everything in these next several verses is needed and vitally needed in our lives. The Greek word for whole armor, panoplia, means the complete outfit. God says, don't think for a moment that you can put on just the shield or just the shoes or just the helmet. Listen, God says, I want you to have the whole outfit. I want you to be thoroughly prepared. Now, I don't know where you stand on the matter, but I believe that we in America are best served when we have a strong defense. I really believe that Ronald Reagan had it right, and that we must have a strong defense in this nation. And I get worried when I find out that we're slipping behind, as we have been in recent years. And I want our young men and young women as well, when they're going out into various missions, I want to know that they have the very best that they possibly can have. I want our police officers to have the very best. I want them to have the best vests. I want them to have the best guns. I want them to have the best cars and the best equipment. And I don't complain when our tax dollars are going for those types of things for the police officers. And I believe that when we send men into battle, that those men deserve the very best. And I believe they deserve the complete array, the full outfit, if you will. I don't want to send them out there with just a second best or part of the outfit, but the full outfit as they go to fight the battle. And God says, I don't want you just with part of your outfit. I want you to put on the whole armor of God. Why? That ye may be able. Now notice the word be able. And the word here is from the Greek word dunamos, the word from which we get dynamite. He says, I want you to have a supernatural ability, and it's not going to come by your strength. It's going to come by the presence of the Lord and by the armor of the Lord all about you. You will not be able to resist Satan with your best methods. You must take the whole armor of God. Not man's counsel, not man's psychology, not man's psychotherapy, but the whole armor of God. Romans 13, 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So God teaches us in His Word that the Christian life is a putting off and a putting on. And we're to put off the old flesh, and we're to put on the new man. And so here we see that we're to put on the armor of God. So the place of our confidence, number one, is in the Lord, and secondarily, in the armor of the Lord. Notice secondly this evening, the persistence of the adversary. Now why do we continuously say that we must be in relationship with the Lord, and we must be adorned with His armor? Why? Because the adversary never gives up. He never gives up. I remember years ago as a young pastor going out to visit a family, and they had some problems. They'd already crossed their 50th anniversary mark. They were a family that I thought, why, they were just kind of floating by now. And I'll never forget being stunned as a young pastor with what they were facing in the difficulties of their relationship. And I remember coming home, did not divulge, even to this day, have not divulged to my own wife the details of the visit, other than to say to her, sweetheart, I learned this tonight. The devil apparently never stops fighting someone's marriage. In other words, you don't reach that plateau where it's like, hey, we've got to get out of jail free card. We can skate on home. And we've been married this number of years. We've been saved this many years. I've been a pastor this many years. Now it's just going to be fine from here on out. I'm here to tell you tonight, the devil never stops fighting. Notice what the Bible says in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now we have tonight a deceitful adversary. And it's interesting, the word wiles, it means strategies or cunning arts or trickery. We have an adversary that will do anything he can. The adversary we serve cannot sell cars without a sexual overtone. The adversary we serve sells cigarettes by having the Marlboro man look like he's healthy, never does show the other side of the story in the cancer ward. The adversary we show wants to make it sound like AIDS virus just came out of nowhere. The adversary that we see, the adversary that's often seen, wants to glamorize sin with his tricks. He's good at covering the bait, covering the hook with his bait tonight. And by the way, notice it says in this verse, the wiles or the tricks of the devil. Satan advances covertly. Satan advances in the darkness. He employs cunning, often rather than power. He seeks to deceive. Now the Bible says of him in 2 Corinthians 11:13, "But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." You see, Satan beguiled Eve. Satan beguiled or tricked Eve. And I'm simply saying he's not going to show up and say, "I'm here to destroy your family," but he will beguile you along the way. He is a deceitful adversary. And he'll try somehow to turn your attention away from the Bible, turn your attention away from that which is right through trickery or through deceit. He is a deceitful adversary. Secondly, he is an organized adversary. Now, I want you to notice this, if you would. Verse 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Principalities speaks of rulers or magistrates. Powers speaks of authority in the demon realm. Rulers speaks of those in a lording position. The word spiritual wickedness, speaking of depravity or iniquity, high places, of course, speaking of authority as well. And what you read in this verse is a description of the different strata or rankings of the demonic powers that are invisible and that are supernatural, demons and evil spirits. What you read in this verse number 12 is of a definition of the devil's empire. In essence, he has demons of many different ranks and many different realms. By the way, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And when he used the word power, that meant, that word tells us, the word power tells us that Jesus has power over every rank and every position of every demon and every devil. Jesus has all power. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." But the devil has demons with many ranks and many realms of power. He is an organized adversary. We read in the Bible of one man who was possessed of many, many demons. He was not saved. But we understand that there are many different demons. And I would submit to you tonight that there are many people that we see in difficult situations in this world today, in downtown LA and downtown Lancaster, who are fully demon possessed at this very moment. But there are many Christians who, while we cannot be possessed, are often oppressed and often buffeted against and often tricked by the devil. And so he is an organized adversary. He is a deceitful adversary, the wiles, the tricks of the devil. He is an organized adversary, many realms of demons. But I want you to take note, he may be withstood. This matter of victorious Christian living is just that. That is to say that you can live on victory side. Now notice in verse 13 what it says. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Now notice this phrase, "that ye may be able to stand." My friend, victory is possible tonight. Don't throw in the towel. Don't say, "I can never have victory. I always have this besetting sin. Satan has the television, the radio, the internet. All I ever hear is wickedness and gossip and the drug crowd and the liquor crowd. Everything is negative. And now marijuana is popular and marijuana is legal in certain states and pharmakia is everywhere and the devil is having his way." And I want to tell you tonight, he does not have to have his way, and you can stand against the devil tonight. But you must stand in the power of the Lord and in the armor of the Lord. It is the only way to stand. Reminds me of the story of a man that went to watch a Little League baseball game, and he got there and he saw the score 17-0. And he looked at the little boys on the side with nothing, and he said, "Boy, that's kind of tough." He said, That's going to be a tough game. Little boy looked at him and said, "Oh, don't worry about it. We haven't even got up to bat yet." I got to tell you something. When you're on the Lord's side, you're on the winning side. It may look difficult. It may look like you're outscored and outnumbered, but God is going to give the victory. So notice verse 13, it says, "Wherefore, take unto you." Now, please notice this. Notice the word take. It means to pick up and carry. All right, let's say that together. Two. Pick up and carry. Pick up and carry. I won't get carried away with this, but I wish we live in a right to carry state. I really do. There are many other states where you have that right. And I just believe that it's a good thing to be able to defend your family. I don't think there's anything in the world wrong with that. I don't think criminals ought to have guns, but I don't think we ought to have a mandate where a godly, righteous, law-abiding citizen cannot protect his family. That's just a free commercial right there. I just thought I'd share it with you. But whether you carry a gun or not, the Bible is very clear for us tonight. The Bible is very clear that we are to take unto us the whole armor of God, and the word take means to pick up and carry. Now, we have police officers in our church and many here tonight, and thank God for them. They ought not to walk out of their house without picking something up and carrying it. In my opinion, they ought to put on their bulletproof vest and they ought to carry their gun. And they'd be foolish to get into the black and white unit without picking up and carrying. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. Especially in today's depraved society. But while it would be silly for a law enforcement officer to get into that battle environment without having his armament, it is even silly for you and for me as a Christian tonight to brush our teeth, comb our hair, or polish, whatever you do. Eat your Cheerios and just walk out the door like, all right, here goes another day. When someone's targeting you. The Bible commands us to take unto you. The Bible commands us to pick up. In other words, what we're going to learn about tonight, when we talk about the armor, needs to be literally, consciously put on every morning. To literally put on, as the Bible will teach us, and have our loins girt about with the truth, and have our feet shod, and have the breastplate of righteousness. God wants us to put on Christ. God wants us to recognize before we walk out the door, Lord, I'm about ready to enter the battle zone, and the devil's got his darts, and the devil's got his bullets. So, Lord, I go in faith today. Lord, I go as a child of the King today. Lord, I go as a witness today. I walk in your spirit today. I don't want to walk out that door. I don't want to stand around the water cooler at work. I don't want to work around the computers at work. I don't want to get in that environment without putting on the whole armor of God right now. A lot of times I'll see police officers in this city and other cities, and I'll say, you got your vest on, don't you? And most all times say, yep, I sure do. You know why? I want them to be protected. I want them to be protected. But I want you to be protected. I want you to pick up. I want you to pick up, and the word take means to pick it up in order to carry it and use it. You can't withstand if you don't have the spiritual armor, if you're not aware of the battle, if you're not putting on Christ, if you're not putting on the armor that is mentioned here, and we must do it together as a family, and we must recognize the spiritual battle. I'm here to tell you, Satan's got his target on many a member of this church and other Bible-preaching churches, and he'll do anything he can to decommission us from spiritual warfare. So it says take, and then notice it says in verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand. Now, the word withstand means to resist or to oppose. That you may be able to resist Satan, that you may be able to oppose him. And notice it says in verse 13, be able to withstand in the evil day. That speaks of the day of temptation. That speaks of the day when that assault comes. That speaks of the day when zing, 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 the arrows come. And you're like, where did that thought come from? And where did that negativity come from? And what in the world is going on here? Where did that come from? It just, Pastor, it came like out of nowhere, this guy I hadn't seen in 20 years. And he invited me to our high school reunion. And they were just passing some stuff around, and it was just somebody on Facebook. I don't know why she used her maiden name, and I don't know why she said those songs and those things, and I don't know how she even got my address on the internet. It was like just out of nowhere. I'll tell you why it came out of nowhere. The devil's got a good aim, and that's why. Da-dun, 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 da-dun. Boom! It came out of nowhere, Pastor. No, it came out of nowhere because you didn't pick up and put on this morning. You've got to pick it up. You've got to put it on. You've got to expect. Satan is the prince and power of the air. I don't care if it's Facebook or Instagram or whatever little program you've got. He owns it, my friend. Any one of these things that ask you your sexual orientation as a part of the registration process? Hello? You understand the owners of these companies are anti-Christ. You understand that? You understand the owners of Facebook, and you understand the owners of these companies are not Bible-believing Christians. And rather than just saying, all right, have at it, God says, I want you to take, I want you to withstand in the evil day. I'm telling you, the evil day is here. And the evil day is the day in which Satan begins throwing these things, these thoughts, these difficulties in your way. And he may be withstood, but we've got to put on the whole armor of God. Now notice in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You say, well, Pastor, I got to tell you, I'm having a problem with my teenager. It's deeper than that. I'll tell you right now, I'm having a problem with the lady in the church. It's deeper than that. You're not wrestling with flesh and blood. You're not. It's not you and your spouse. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's deeper than that. A wrestling match involves close, intense conflict. And by explaining our conflict with the devil in this term, the Apostle Paul is emphasizing the gravity of the situation, the proximity of the situation, and the great need to put on the armor if we're going to have victory in the situation. Again, the very best of military, the very, very best trained of police officers, they must be constantly and vigilantly ready because at any moment something could come at them. Our tour of the Holy Land, the last few days we were there, every morning I checked in with the major of the police that was in the hotel and did a lot of other checking with folks back home and State Department and making sure things were fine, and I was doing my best to be vigilant. There were several hundred police officers at our hotel. There's been a lot of Palestinians just jumping out from the crevices and stabbing Israeli citizens in the neck. It was happening every day. There was bloodshed that we were there. And I'm going to tell you something. We gave some tracks to some of those soldiers, but they weren't in a track kind of a mood. They weren't in a chit-chat kind of a mood. They didn't know who we were. Some of them we got to know, and they talked to us, even around the hotel, even going downtown. Hey, how you doing? They didn't say a word. They had their M16 here. They had their baton here. They had their shield here. They had their helmet on. They knew one thing and one thing only, that at any moment, someone could jump out of a side alley and strike them in the neck with a knife. And so, having picked up and put on, they weren't out there to talk to American tourists. They were out there to be ready. And I'm saying tomorrow morning we've got to pick up and put on, and we've got to be ready. Because it may be some old friend, it may be some show, it may be some internet this or that. I don't know what it might be. I just know the devil's going to throw in the evil day everything he has at you. He's a persistent adversary. And so we see the place of our confidence must be in the Lord and his armor. And we see the persistence of the adversary. He's not going to stop. Notice thirdly tonight, the protection of the armor. We come to verse 14. Says, stand therefore. Stand therefore. Now let's just take a moment here, and next week we're going to look at a picture of this armor and a soldier in the armor, and you'll get a better glimpse next week. But we're not looking at a man with his back to the enemy. We're not looking at someone figuring out how to run. We're studying tonight a soldier that's standing. He's standing for God. He's standing for his family. He's standing for righteousness. He is standing. And I want you to notice in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now we come to the first piece of the armor. Your loins girt about with the truth. The words girt about speak of fastening garments as a belt or girdle. The girdle kept all parts of the armor in place. It was to this girdle that other pieces of the armament would be attached. But the central piece was the belt of the truth. Gabelline said the belt tightly around the waist indicated that the soldier was prepared for action. To slacken the belt was to go off duty, and so it is today. You take a fellow that's got his gun belt, it's time to go to Krispy Kreme. He's got to loosen it to sit down because he's taking a break, right? When someone loosens the belt, it's at the end of the day. It's perhaps time for rest. But the picture that we have here is that it is to be girt about. It is to be fastened. For it is the foundation to all the rest of the armor. It is the truth. The belt of truth. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. May I say tonight, God's word is truth. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So I propose to you that no man who has neglected Bible reading in that day can honestly say he's put on the armor of God. Because the only way to put on this battlement, this equipment, this armor, is to first and foremost put on the truth girdle, if you will, to have your loins girt about with truth. And the only way to have the truth on you, to be adorned with truth, is to open the Word of God and to put on the truth by the reading of the Word of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the belt of truth. You ought to come to church tonight and think, all right, what is one truth I can get tonight that I can put on, that I can apply, that I can take with me? Something that I can use and dress with. It is the belt of truth. And you see, that's why devotional times are important and Sunday school and church and all of this. It's not the ritual of going to church. It's the putting on the truth that's important. Do you understand that tonight? I remember doing the funeral service for Brother Harley Peters years ago, and his daughter gave me his Bible. Brother Peters was a dear member of our church for many years. He had a disease called myasthenia gravis. He had four kidneys. He suffered in a lot of pain. He got to church as often as he could. But I remember when she gave me the Bible and said, I thought you might want to have Daddy's service from his Bible. Now just ponder that for a moment, men. Because someday your children will find your Bible. Well, I use my phone. Get real. I mean, I've got it on my phone too. Thank God for that. But get a Bible. I just started through another one this year. I got a new Bible to read. It's got giant print. For years, I've been telling the guys in graphics, make the print in the bulletin bigger for the older people. I'm the pastor of everybody, teenagers, nursery, senior citizens. I want you to remember, older people need that. I just threw that out the window a few weeks ago and said, look, just make it big for me, all right? I need to be able to read that thing. I got a new Bible to read. Because I need to have, as a Christian, before I ever became a husband or a father or a pastor, I am a Christian man. And I must do personal battle every day. And I cannot do that if I do not spend time personally in the Word of God. Say, oh, but you study all the time for sermons. Yes, I do. Many, many hours every single week. But before that, I've got to do something for me. I've got to put on the belt of truth. And then secondly, I must put on the breastplate of righteousness. Notice, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. This speaks of the thorax. This speaks of the area that is often x-rayed when one is having a physical examination. The area where your vital organs are located, your heart and your lungs. And God says, I want you to put on the breastplate of righteousness. One historian referred to the breastplate as the heart protector. God says, I want you to guard your heart. Solomon said, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. And so God says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. This righteousness, that is the righteousness that is pleasing to God through justification. And there are two types of righteousness. First, there is our positional righteousness, which we have through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. I am not righteous because I'm good. I am righteous because the perfect Son of God died for my sin and shed his blood. And through Christ, I am made positionally righteous tonight. For he, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin. He became sin for us. Why do you think he sweat great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane? Why? Because of the physical pain he would face? Yes. But beyond that, because every lie and every wicked deed and every disobedient spirit and every carnal mean look and every wicked thing we would ever do came upon Jesus on the cross. He became sin for us. God the Father made him, God the Son, to be sin for us. He knew no sin. But he became sin for us that we might be made righteous, that we might have righteousness. There's nothing righteous about me apart from Jesus Christ. Then there is practical sanctification. That is, as I grow in the Lord, I can have a life that more reflects the Lord. For example, the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. The Bible says, make no provision for the flesh. The Bible speaks of sanctification, and it speaks of righteousness in a practical way of spiritual growth. So God says, put on the armor. What does that mean? Definitely means make sure you're saved. Make sure that you're covered by the Lord Jesus Christ in forgiveness. But it also means putting on this breastplate of righteousness means that today, Lord, I want to live righteously for you. Today, I don't want to give place to the devil. I want to be covered in my heart so that the devil cannot come and find entrance with thoughts or with difficulty or with challenges that would bring me down. Lord, I want to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Help me to remember what you have taught me in your word. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Listen, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. But everything else, Lord, I don't even want it in my heart, Lord. I want to put on the breastplate of righteousness. You see, the protection of the armor. Then I want you to see the preparation of the armor. The preparation of the armor. We see that we are to put on the truth. We are to put on righteousness. But now notice finally the preparation of the armor. Verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now feet are important. You don't believe that? Just stub your little tiny toe. I remember when I went to San Jose, California. I already knew I wanted to marry Mrs. Chapel, Terry. I knew I had to face her dad. His name, Como Cosmo Bianco, a.k.a. Mr. Mafia. I remember going into the home of the Biancos. And I don't know if he wasn't expecting me or forgot the appointment or what. This is the honest truth. He's sitting there at his dinner table with his shirt off. He's got his first wife's name right here tattooed, crossed out. He's eating a T-bone steak. No potatoes, no corn, no bread, just the steak. He's already got one bone on this plate. He's got another steak on the plate. He's eating the steak. He's looking at me. I am here to ask for his daughter's hand in marriage. Some of you are going to think I'm speaking evangelistically on the next part of the story. You can ask my wife later. Out of the corner of our eyes, we saw on the fence between his home and the next home, a possum. He said, there's that possum. He reached into the credenza and grabbed a 38. He shot the possum 3 times. To my observation, at least 2 of the bullets went into the neighbor's house. He put his gun back down on the table and said, "Where were we?" It's honest truth. I regained my composure. I studied his tattoos, his steak, his gun. I said, "Well, I'm here because I wanted to ask for the hand of your daughter in marriage." He immediately began to cry. This is the Italian way. You go from a strong hitman persona to a weepy crying persona. It was an amazing journey. Forthwith came the speech about loving and caring for her. And somewhere along the way, he said, "And I want you to care for everything. I want you to realize if you take my daughter's hand in marriage that you've got to love everything about her, even her feet." And I remember thinking, "What's wrong with her feet?" Her feet are fine. It was just his way of covering the contract. Feet are important. And the Bible says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." God says, "I want you to shod," that means to bind on. "I want you to shod your feet with the preparation," again, a state of readiness. So we are to have on our feet a ready foundation. We are to be ready from the feet with the gospel. Now, I want you to know, and we're going to learn in weeks to come, there's power in the gospel, not just to save you, but to keep you in spiritual warfare. You want to go out the door with your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You want to go out the door gospel-centered, gospel-living, gospel-talking. You are protected by the gospel of Jesus Christ. You were a sinner when you got saved because you trusted the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are still a sinner, but thank God the gospel has shown its power in your life. And every day of your life, you want to be reminded that there is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so our foundation must be the gospel. Our theme verse for this church: "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come or whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast with one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." God says, "I want you to have a gospel-centered life. I want you to have a ready foundation. I don't want you walking out of the door knowing everything about the latest television show, knowing everything about the latest gossip. I want you to walk out the door knowing who you are and who Jesus is. And I want you to be ready to give every man an answer of the hope that lies within you. Hey, someone else is going to know who won the Grammys. Someone else can know who won the Emmys. But you ought to be the one who knows how to tell someone how to go to heaven." That ought to be what is on your feet, ready to go. A ready witness. The shoes were not only for the purpose of standing well, but they would allow the soldier to move effectively. Studies have been done and contracts have been given to the company that could give the shoe to the soldier that would allow him to stand most effectively and to move with the most agility at the same time, looking for the ability to stand and have a protected foot, but also to be able to move as quickly as possible. It is important, therefore, for us to know the gospel. It is important for us to know how to use the gospel. It is important for us to share the gospel. The Bible says in Romans 10 and 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't care if you wear a size 5 or a size 15. I don't care if you've got bunions or corn or athlete's foot tonight. If you go out of your door tomorrow knowing that Jesus is still the answer, knowing that Jesus saves sinners, you have beautiful feet. You are a ready witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to be mindful tonight as you enter the day tomorrow. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The devil's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to get things through your mind. You're a loser. It's never going to be fixed. The Bible reminds us that this too shall pass, but the devil wants you to think this is forever. I want you to be mindful that there is great confidence to be placed in the Lord, in the Lord. Place your confidence in Him. Stop trying to figure it out on the internet. Stop trying to ask this and trying to ask that and figuring out, listen, I'm going to move to Idaho in a pup tent. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Hey, why don't you just give God a moment? Why don't you just keep trusting the Lord? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Why? Because there's a persistent adversary. He has tricks cunningly devised to come against you. Even some of the things that worry some of you in the society in which we live are nothing more than the devil's trickery. And the devil would like nothing more than to see you jump here and jump there and worry about this and worry about that. Why don't some of you just stand? Stand. Plant your ground. Get rooted. Determine that nothing will move you, that you will put on the armor of God. And having done all to stand, you will stand in that evil day and you will be victorious. Not because of who you are. Not because of your address. Not because you have a master's degree. Because your master is Jesus Christ. The place of our confidence is the Lord. The persistence of our adversary is sure. So we must put on the armor. We must come to that place where we say, Lord, today I want to put your truth on. Because I'm going to go out into a cursing, sin-sick world, and I want to put your truth on today. And Lord, I want to put on the breastplate of righteousness today. Thank you for salvation. Help me to live righteously before you today. And Lord, I'm putting on the gospel now. I want my feet shod with the gospel because as I stand, I don't know who might want to know about Jesus today. But when they want to know, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Yes, there's a real adversary with ranks of demons and devils, but there is real victory to be had in the Lord, in the power of His might, and in His armor. Say, well, I just need to get to a conservative place with more conservative people. Fine. That's fine. But I want to remind you tonight, the power is not in your address. It's not in your knowledge. The power is in the Lord. You know how good God is? One of my dear friends, Brother Dave Tice, he's pastored for 35 years in Las Vegas, Nevada. Sin City. Many of you long ago would number one, not have lived there. Number two, you would have moved from there because of some law that got passed. Dave Tice said this, God called me here. This is my mission field. And if His armor can't work in Las Vegas, then it's not going to work in Boise either. So for 35 years, the man gets up. He puts on the truth, puts on the righteousness, puts on the preparation of the gospel, takes the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and marches on, and he raises 5 children who go to the altar as pure virgins. Now listen to me. You could live in the heart of the Bible Belt. You could be the only person to ever educate your little child, and you can protect and protect and protect. And if you don't have the armor of God, you miss the point. Put on the armor of God. The safest place for anyone to be in their life is in the center of the will of God. And having done all to stand, stand. It is my prayer that you and I, at the end of this lifetime, will be standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes when I see a police officer out there on duty, hopefully not pulling me over, sometimes I say, hey, how's it going? You got your vest on, don't you? So why do you say that, Pastor? because I have a heart for those men. I want them to be ready. And you know what, Sunday school teacher? You know what some of you older Christians ought to do with some of the young men in this church? Hey, how's it going, Jesse? Got your armor on, don't you? Make sure you're having time with the Lord. Put on the truth every day. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet shod. Take the shield of faith. Hey, it's okay to encourage someone to be ready. Because I'm going to tell you what, it's a lot better for me to ask him that than for him to say, Pastor, could you help me pay my alimony? It's a lot better to be encouraged. Listen, you got your armor on? Tomorrow morning, put it on. Tomorrow morning, go into the day recognizing, hey, it's going to be a wonderful day, but I know that there's an enemy who's got me and his targets. And I'm going to put on the armor today, and I'm going to go out, and I'm going to do everything I can to stand. And it's not going to be my manipulating and my protecting and my coercing, and it's not going to be my figuring. It's going to be God doing it. And I propose to you, if God could do it for Dave Tyson in Las Vegas, he can do it for you right here, right now. If God could do it for Brother Stensis in Uganda, with all of the demonic activity, and raise four children that are all missionaries right now tonight, if God could do it in Uganda, hey, I think he might be able to pull it off in Lancaster. Amen. But we've got to put on the whole armor of God.